You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
You guys ready? All right. You're not empowered to sit. You're empowered to serve. I love it. That's a great video. We've got to watch that for the last 6 weeks, and we'll move on here shortly to a new series. But it's so good to be in church today, and I'm excited about you being here. I'm excited to be here, and this is our second service of the morning. I always look forward to round two, I call it, round two. I love it. So God bless you, and thank you for coming. If you're a guest, especially thank you for being here. Hey, if you did listen to that Teen Rev announcement, the sponsor part of it is so important. It's only $125 to sponsor somebody in our city and then $225 to sponsor somebody outside of our city. So it's a really, really good way to contribute to Teen Rev. If you pass the teen raising years, you might consider sponsoring a teenager to attend, especially our glow up teens that come from public schools that will want to be here, but they might need some help. So just a quick plug, since we are leaving on vacation right after this service, thank you for loving us enough to let us go. Understand that it's such a great time for us every year. It's been somewhat of a tradition that we leave right on the weekend of Memorial Day and come back 2 weeks later. We have get past college graduation, high school graduation, and believe it or not, the campus actually gets quite quiet for a couple of weeks. It might be because we left. I'm not sure. But anyway, not sure. But it's really a good natural time, a good flow of things for us to take it during this time. And then we're back for the whole summer and excited to get back for our 34th year anniversary. I've actually been here for every one of those, and I can't wait. We're going to have a great service. We got some little things that we're going to be doing in addition to everything we normally do. Start a new sermon series. This will be our fourth sermon series of the year. Can you believe it? We started off in the book of Acts, right? We found out that God can take ordinary people and do extraordinary things in their lives. We saw that in those disciples, super ordinary dudes. I mean, these guys and gals were nothing special until God got a hold of them and filled them, empowered them with his spirit. And so we were challenged in that first series about 10 weeks to understand how important it is to know that the Holy Spirit of God is ready to empower us. He desires that. And then secondly, we had our Easter series. Remember that? Villains and victors. What a tremendous celebration that was on Easter Sunday as we got to experience God turning the darkest hour in history to the absolutely greatest victory for eternity. And it was a super special series for 3 weeks, from villains to victors. And then we've been in this spiritual gift series now for 6 weeks. This is week number six. It's been a blast, and we've been learning about the gifts of the Spirit. We've taken a spiritual gifts test, and we're excited about what God is doing in that. I'll say a quick word, but I'll go back to real quickly. The next series is on the fruits of the Spirit. Oh my, it's going to be exciting. The book of Galatians tells us there's 8 fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, right? Patience, gentleness, kindness, and so on. So God gives us these fruits, but wait a minute. As we walk in the Spirit, as we are empowered by the Spirit, ultimately the goal of this summer fruit series, 8 weeks, 8 fruits, will be for us to learn that as we walk in the Spirit, as we learn to be empowered by the Spirit. You ever heard this statement? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You ever heard that? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of those 8 fruits to perfection. And the more I walk with him, the more I walk in the Spirit, the character of Christ is revealed in my life. People begin to see those fruits bearing witness in my life because I've been staying close to Jesus. This is so special. And we're going to see that in real time and learn how those spiritual fruits, those fruits that of the Spirit that God clearly lists in Scripture, can become very evident in our lives and to this community through our lives. We've been really working on making sure that everybody gets plugged in at Gospel Light. And since this is my last series, I have one final, or last sermon in this series, I have one final commercial, and that is your insert that you have, right? You'll see it. We prepared this for you. It's 14 different ministries with email addresses. There's a verse for each ministry. There's a leader. There's a vision. There's a contribution, what it makes to the ministry. And so what we want you to do is take this really handy information packet or sheet, if you will, flyer, and just read through it and decide who you should email according to your spiritual gift. And if you haven't taken the spiritual gifts test, we can make that available to you as well. But we really pray that this, our final opportunity to say, hey, are you using your spiritual gift in one of these ways? There's an email. One of the emails is mine. I will return my email I usually return my phone calls in 24 hours, text messages 24. Email sometimes takes me 48 to get so many. But I will return it quickly. And if you're interested in serving with me, but there's all kinds of ways to serve. Get plugged in. Don't walk away from 6 weeks of sermon series not using that spiritual gift to build up the body of Christ. Amen? But we have shifted the focus. Entirely shifted the focus of the sermon series. Last week we discussed how to protect your power. And we saw in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 that scripture clearly says, don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. We started learning what that looks like and what that means and how important it is for us to protect the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, lest we cause sorrow to the Holy Spirit. We can bring sorrow to God's Spirit when we are inactive in our walk with God, when we are involved in sin. We can grieve God's Holy Spirit. But then there's another short little verse. It's tucked away in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and the Apostle Paul gives this powerful command. He says, do not grieve God's Holy Spirit, but do not quench the Spirit. It's quite different. And so this morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments on how to protect the fire. Because you see, as you look at this word quench, you begin to ask yourself the question, what does it mean? The word quench means to extinguish a fire. It also means this, to put out a flame. You see, if I were to light a candle on this platform, I'll just do this first one here for a moment. There's a sermon illustration coming soon from these candles, but if I were to light that flame, let me ask a question. How many of you, and just humor me for just a moment, I won't ask you to raise your hands anymore. How many of you can see the light from wherever you're sitting? Raise your hand. All right, even James in the back can see that flame. It's lit. It's on fire. It's exciting. But if I were to blow that flame out. See, some translations, maybe yours, maybe the one sitting in your lap says, snuff out the flame. Do not snuff out the Spirit. Do not stifle the Spirit, some translations say. Mine says, do not quench this. Don't put out the fire of God in your life. Don't put it out. There's so much here to talk about because throughout Scripture, fire is often compared and connected to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. We see it oftentimes when we're dealing with the connection of the power of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God's Spirit. We see it oftentimes when we think about the purity of our lives. The Spirit of God wants us to be pure, so He provides a refiner's fire to burn off the dross, to burn the things in our lives that shouldn't be there. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Cleanse me from every sin. Set me free, God, on a regular basis. I need the refiner's fire. Amen. I want to live a pure life. And then we think about the passion that we have for God. Amen. The passion is oftentimes seen in our emotions and in our actions, and it's often connected to the Holy Spirit and the fire. Have you ever said this to someone, man, you need to get fired up? Or have you ever said, hey, man, you're fired up, right? Man, you're fired up. What's up with you? You're fired up about this. You ever seen somebody cheer at a basketball game and maybe you leaned over and said, look, what are they fired up about? Well, they probably got a kid playing, right? Probably got a kid on the court. Makes people get loud. Makes folks shout and scream and do things they wouldn't normally do about things they're not so passionate about. But if you're passionate about something, you're fired up about it. And it shows, and that's connected oftentimes in Scripture to the Holy Spirit. And there's a great truth you need to know from the outset of this message, that the enemy cannot steal your salvation, but he will absolutely try to steal your passion. He will. And we see this sometimes over the lifetime of our Christianity, our passion wanes. The flame becomes a flicker, and sometimes it even goes out. Because when spiritual fire weakens, drift begins. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it prone to leave the God I love. I love you, God, but I'm so prone to wander, to drift. You can attend church but lose your focus. You can still sing songs, but you can lose your passion. Oftentimes, we see people serving outwardly but becoming spiritually dry inwardly. And if we're not careful, pressure, distraction, compromise, disappointment, and even complacency can slowly cool down what God once ignited on fire in us. This morning, I stand before you almost 34 years into pastoring one church. 34 years times 52 Sundays equals hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons. But what the Holy Spirit wants from me, He wants me to preach with fire this morning, just like I did that very first Sunday. My excuse can't be, I've been doing this for 34 years. And I could say that. And to be honest, it's easy to get used to something you've been doing for 34 years and take it for granted. But I need a fresh filling this morning. I need a fresh fire. I need God to anoint this message unlike He's ever anointed any message I've ever preached before. But I want to give you some good news. The good news this morning is that God knows how to breathe on weak flames. So if your flame is weak this morning, if it's just a flicker, if you feel like you're wandering and drifting away from the things that maybe you used to be involved in or the fire you used to have, I want you to know God is in the business of breathing on weak flames and setting your soul afire. You ever heard that old hymn? Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Not many people have heard it anymore. It's a really old hymn. You'd have to be an old Baptist to know that one. But some of you new folks know this one. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. How many of you know that one? Yeah, it's about a lot more. Yeah, that's a newer worship song. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying we sing about it all the time. We sing about fire. We sing about passion. So the question is, how's the fire burning in your heart? What I want to do this morning is give you three practical ways to protect the flame, protect the fire that God has placed inside of you. Because if you're a Christian, you got a fire that the Holy Spirit wants to light inside you. So here they are. Number one, very simple, very practical. You got to resist the drift, but don't resist the Spirit. Resist the drift, but don't resist the Spirit. So let's take a moment and look at our text verse again. Yes, again. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It's simple. It's five little words. It says, don't or do not quench the Spirit. Now, we said this last week about do not grieve God's Holy Spirit. We'll say it this week about do not quench the Spirit. And that is this. That statement, that standalone statement, that passage tells us that it is possible for believers to resist what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in their lives. It's possible. You can resist. You can push back. You can walk away. You cannot respond to what God is attempting and trying to do in your life. We're not talking about losing your salvation. No, that's not what this is about. For any of you that just are going there, stop, time out, that's not possible. We're not talking about losing God's love. That's not possible. God will never love you any more or any less. He loves you supremely, completely. He loves you. That will never change. But losing spiritual sensitivity and spiritual fire is possible. Do not quench that. Throughout Scripture, we often see the Holy Spirit is pictured as fire. One of my favorite places, I kind of mentioned it in the prayer time, is in the upper room with 120 new believers, right? And the Holy Spirit's wind comes breezing through this room. And look what happens. Scripture says they saw tongues like flames of fire. Can you imagine being in that room? Can you imagine this morning being in this room? And if the Holy Spirit of God were to blow through this place and literal fire could be seen maybe above our heads, we would be blown away by that, but we would know something is happening. Oftentimes we see this in Scripture. Spiritually speaking, I have personally found that when the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning strongly in my life, worship comes alive. Worship comes alive. The Word of God becomes clear. Prayer becomes meaningful. Conviction becomes real. Passion for people grows. Spiritual boldness increases. When the fire is burning, I feel these things happening in my life. But I've also learned something from being a Christian for 47 years, that when the flame begins to weaken, everything in my life seems to grow colder spiritually. I get colder. I mean, I go from coming to church to watching online, and from watching online to sleeping in, from sleeping in to I watch later this week, and from watching later this week to 4 weeks out of church. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I can skip my Bible reading one day, and that was so easy. It just feels like, man, I made it through okay. I'm still okay. And then the next thing I know, I haven't read my Bible like I should. I mean, this just can happen. The evangelist Stephen actually preached a sermon about this. And here's what he said to the people he was preaching to in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. He said, "You stiff-necked people." I didn't say it. I did not say that. He said it. "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're always resisting the Holy Spirit. He's convicting you. He's speaking to you. He's prompting you. He is encouraging you. And you keep resisting." He says, you've been listening to this preaching for year after year, week after week, month after month, whatever the case may be. And you are resisting what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. This is why we've got to protect the flame. Because a sermon series like this, 6 weeks of preaching on the gifts of the Spirit, if nothing changes, if nothing's added, if you don't start using your gift, trust me, this is true of us. We just walked away unmoved by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We resisted the Spirit. Whatever that looks like in our lives, God wants and desires all of us to respond. But every time we continually ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit, what we do is we weaken our spiritual sensitivity. This is why Josh said what he said in the very beginning. If you listen, you heard him say something regarding that. The familiarity of preaching and all these things that we hear. It's like, oh yeah, I know that. I know that. I know that. I know that. I've heard that. I've heard that. I've heard that. I've heard that. Are you doing anything about it? We quench the Spirit. We stifle the Spirit. We snuff out the Spirit. In other words, we're convicted to forgive. We know we should forgive. Here's someone that we've been bitter against. We have not forgiven them. We know that we haven't talked to them. We feel uncomfortable around them. We sit on the other side of church, whatever it might be. But we resist it. And we quench the Spirit. We know we're compelled to witness. We know we should witness, tell others about Christ. Here's a guy I know that needs Jesus, and I know I should tell him. In fact, the Holy Spirit has actually several times told me, hey, you need to talk to them. You need to invite them to church. Give them a gospel tract. You need to tell them God loves them. But I don't know. What are they going to think? And fear holds me back, and I just quench the Spirit. We know we need to trust God. We know we do. There's a situation we need to give to God. We're holding on to it. And we know we need to believe God. We know we need to trust God. We sang about trusting God. We read verses that we know. I'm going to do it. But what? I'm just so worried. And we hang on to that because of anxiety. And we quench the Spirit. We know that we should step out in faith. I mean, it's clear. We know it's time to step out, be obedient. And it's a risk. It's a little challenging. It's a little scary. But clearly God has said, step out in faith. But you know what? If I do that, I don't know. It's just, I'm going to have to give up some more time. And I really like this and that. And I like my Saturdays. And, you know, I don't want to serve and come to church one service, serve in the other. That's 3 hours at church. I mean, I got football. I got lunch. I got all these things I like to do, so I'm just too comfortable to do that. And we quench the Spirit. This is why we have to protect the flame carefully. Think with me about this verse. Does it do anything for you? Does it convict you? Does it open your eyes? It's Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 11. Listen to this. Do not lack diligence in zeal. Don't lack this. Don't lack your attempt to do everything you can to be zealous for Christ. Be fervent. I looked that word up, and it means to be on fire. Be fervent, be on fire in the Spirit. And I love this for our series, Empowered to Serve. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Be diligent. Don't let the flame go out. Serve God with your life. God wants his people spiritually alive. He wants his people spiritually passionate. He wants his people spiritually sensitive, spiritually expectant. And the Holy Spirit does not burn brightest in perfect people. The Holy Spirit burns brightest in responsive people. So don't worry if you're not perfect. You don't know what I've done. I'm not worthy. Me neither. But just this past week, I know, me too. You say, really? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just get my spar cuddle. I'll tell you all my problems. and my guys still love me. They actually kind of are encouraged that they found out pastors aren't perfect. Can I get an amen after 34 years? Amen. You don't stay somewhere 34 years if you're perfect. You just have a church that knows how to forgive a lot. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. Are you responsive to the Spirit? It's not about perfection. It's never been about perfection. Amen. I think there's a song about that. It's about being teachable. Are you teachable? Are you hungry? Are you surrendered? Because a fire never stays strong accidentally. It must be protected. It must be protected. Number two, resist the drift. Don't resist the Spirit. Secondly, refuel the flame. Refuel the flame. Recognize what keeps the fire burning. Refuel. Sometimes, hey, or if you got a Tesla, I guess it's re-energize the, or whatever it looks like, you know. I mean, what were you at? How many percent? 38's low, bro. Yeah, you need to refuel. Hey, sometimes that gets down to that red. You start seeing and it says, you know, 0 miles till empty. And you're like, I hope this thing's got at least another gallon in it. You ever been there? Refuel. Stop. Because it's going to go out soon. It's going to stop. Refuel. Spiritual fire does not stay strong accidentally. It must be fueled intentionally. So here's what I'm going to do this morning for your benefit and for mine. I'm going to give you 5 practical ways straight from the Word of God on how to refuel and protect your flame, your fire of the Holy Spirit. 5 ways. Now, what's beautiful about these 5 ways is I found them all right around don't quench the Spirit. They're all right there. The Holy Spirit literally put them right in the same chapter, surrounded by that statement. The Holy Spirit gave us 5 practical ways to refuel the fire of God in our lives. And the first one is this. Praise fuels the flame. Praise fuels the flame. I love 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Here it is. You ready? It's a really complicated verse. It's hard to understand. We're going to have to really exegete this. Rejoice always. You say, what's left? That's it. It's all. Rejoice. Always. All the time. Just rejoice. Rejoy. Fill it up. Rejoy. Oh, listen. Rejoice always. Scripture says, rejoice always. Keep your focus on God's goodness. Amen. Hey, is there something we could be thankful for this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's try this. God is good.
All the time.
God is good. Woo! That felt good, didn't it? How did you know to say that? You could say that to the lady at Walmart that hadn't been to church in 5 years, and she says the same thing. It's crazy. It's become a cliche. Everybody knows it. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And for that reason, I can rejoice always. Because you got to remember something. Our joy is rooted in something deeper than our circumstances. Did you know that every week for me does not go well? And you may wonder, man, what's into that dude? Man, he's hyped up. He must have had a great week. Not so much. Oh, yeah. I had some tough things this week. I drove to the village this week and had a man I met in my gym in the village. And he's been diagnosed with cancer in his hip, going to MD Anderson this week. My wife and I rushed up to the village, brought our oil, anointed him with oil in his house, told me he had a gun on his bedside. He was going to blow his head open. He's been given very little chance to live, just got married. It's crazy, intense. You say, wow, You seem pretty excited. I don't know, because my joy is not rooted in circumstances, in the things I've been through this week. It's rooted in Jesus Christ, in his love for me, in his supply for me. Are you listening this morning? Hey, listen, happiness changes with situations, but joy is anchored in God. Praise shifts our focus from what is temporary to what is eternal. You know what I found out? The enemy wants to keep me discouraged. He wants to keep you discouraged. The enemy wants to keep you negative and spiritually heavy. But praise, it keeps your heart alive. And that's why Psalm 34 verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Amen. I got a chapter and verse for why I'm so excited this morning. I have no excuse. God says his praise must continually be on my lips. If I bless him at all times, that's what will happen. Hallelujah. What a promise. But sometimes protecting the flame means that I've got to choose praise before I even feel the breakthrough. Even when I don't feel it, he's still working. That flame's still shining. Even when I don't feel it, he's moving. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Man, I got all kinds of things going on in my life, but that flame, he's still working. He's still there. Praise keeps the fire burning. Number two, secondly, I'm having fun. Prayer keeps the fire burning. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Prayer. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't quench the spirit. Verse 17 says, pray constantly. You say, what else? That's it. I'll break it down for you. Pray all the time. Pray constantly. Prayer keeps us connected to the presence and power of God. Prayer is not just a religious routine. It's a relationship. It's not just about, well, I pray every morning for 7 minutes and 43 seconds. I've timed it. It's the same prayer every week. That's probably not much of a prayer life. You don't need to make it a routine and feel like if you don't pray this amount of time or don't pray long enough or don't pray, you know, exegetical prayer or, you know, an eloquent prayer. God's not looking for eloquence. He's just looking for a relationship, just a conversation. Hey, Jesus, you up there? I got to talk. I need you. It's just talking to God, whatever you want. You could talk to him in your car, at the drive-thru, in the shower, naked. I mean, he brought you into this world naked. He's going to take you out naked. It's okay to pray to him. Don't pray to me naked, but you pray to him naked. Amen. By the way, I don't say naked in where I was raised. I say naked, but in Arkansas, it's naked. Amen. I just lost about 3 visitors. They're never coming back. That's it. It's all you had to hear. This church is not refined enough. Well, I'm glad you found out the first Sunday. It gets worse. No, I'm just kidding. It gets a little better, I think. But anyway, if you've read the book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, it's a good book. I've asked you to read it this year. Here's a quote from Jim Cimbala. God is attracted to weakness and responds to desperate prayer. Wow. God is attracted to weakness. Prayer keeps our hearts soft and dependent and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I love Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, will protect your power, will protect your fire, will guard your heart, your emotions, your mind, your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Church family, the more we pray, the more spiritually alive we become. It's just the truth. And that is why the enemy constantly fights your prayer life. Constantly. Because prayer keeps the flame burning. Number three. Positivity keeps the fire burning. Oh, yeah. I love this one. If you know anything about me, I'm pretty positive. I mean, I never start off with anything negative. It's always positive, negative, positive. Amen. The sandwich effect, right? But usually if I don't like something about you, you know I'm going to tell you 10 things I do like about you. Like, Mo, man, listen, I don't really like your shoes, but I like your pants, your shirt, your glasses, your head looks great. I love your head. It's amazing. Amen. It's bald. Amen. I tell you what, let me read you this. This is amazing. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Give thanks for everything. You mean somehow I got to see the good in everything? I've got to give thanks for whatever I go through? Some of you maybe have heard recently my mom passed away and she went to heaven. She was 85 years of old. She was suffering. She was in hospice. She was not conscious. I was starting to hear things like, you know, where we're going to keep her comfort. I'm like, man, take her on, man. She's ready to go. And I know I expressed emotion by the bedside. I wept and cried. But can I tell you something? I'm not going to grieve like others grieve that don't know what I know. I know my mama is in heaven with Jesus and she has been healed. Somebody said to me, actually, I'm sorry your mom didn't get healed. I'm like, oh, no, she did. She did. In fact, if she got healed down here, it would have just been like, you know, for maybe a year. The real healing comes when we get to heaven. I'm not saying I want to go on the next bus, but I'm ready if I do. I'm ready. I mean, I hope somebody will be positive at my funeral. Now, I told my kids, don't you get up there. Well, my dad is gone. No. I mean, cry a little bit. I mean, I would appreciate it. Maybe a few tears. Maybe a couple. But somebody get up in there and say, man, hey, I know what he's doing. He's dancing with Jesus. He's in heaven shouting glory. He's having a time. Hallelujah. I'm saying this for your benefit. Because I really do believe that this verse means something. It's about gratitude. Gratitude protects the heart from negativity and spiritual drift. That's why Scripture says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What is that all about? It's about being grateful. Grateful people stay spiritually healthier people. Because complaining drains spiritual strength, but gratitude renews it. Amen? Oh, man. If I get around a complainer, I'm done. It just takes it out of me. I have to make up it. I'm sorry, I got to go. Oh, I got to, you know, I'm trying to get. I'm like, please, somebody call me right now. Everything's an emergency when somebody's complaining and just negative. And it's so funny. Sometimes, you know, a service doesn't go perfect. Sometimes something will happen. And I'll be in the lobby and, hey, you need to do something about the heat in there. It's too hot in there. Like, did you see we had 3 baptisms? Did you like the sermon? Was the worship okay? Man, it was a little hot. I get it. I'm sorry. But is there anything that you saw? Are you listening? Sometimes I think our default is straight to what we saw as a negative. But positivity fuels the flame. Gratitude keeps our hearts from becoming cold, cynical, and bitter. And I think that some people actually lose their spiritual fire, not because God stopped working, but because they stopped appreciating what God was already doing. He's working. We just stopped appreciating how he's working. And God is good, isn't he? All the time. Positivity fuels the flame. Let me give you my next one. Preaching fuels the flame. Ho ho! Preaching fuels the flame. Let me tell you something, church family. Man, I love to preach. I love to bring God's word. You might wonder why I come with this energy and passion and fire. It's because it fuels me to teach God's word. It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's blessed. It's life-changing. It's convicting. It's awesome. It's a discerner of the hearts and spirit. It is amazing. I love it. I've been doing this for a long time. But I long for it every Sunday. In fact, I'll just tell you, I'm going to have 2 weeks off. I'm not preaching for 2 weeks. You better be ready on June 14th. I'll be so ready to preach when I get back. It's going to be like, just set them on fire. Let's watch them burn. Oh, man, I love the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says, don't despise prophecies. Same chapter, right around. The next verse, don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Don't despise the teaching and preaching of God's word. We need to stay hungry for the word of God, responsive to his voice. Because the word of God strengthens faith. It renews perspective. It keeps spiritual fire alive. And the more we lean into God's word, the more spiritually alive we become. This is why we don't just attend church casually. We come hungry and expectant. Casual participants at church, I feel sorry for them. It's almost like they, you know, where's the popcorn? Casual attendees are looking for the, you know, just, and again, I'm not being critical. I'm helping us in this. This is kind of a warning sermon. But when you come hungry and expectant, you can't believe how fast the sermon goes. And when the pastor says closing, you're like, stink. Man, it's already over. By the way, I just went to a movie that was 3 hours long. I had to go to the bathroom at 2 hours and 15 minutes. I don't know how I made it. I survived. Movie was so good. 3 hours. And so I'm going to preach for 3 hours this morning. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm actually almost done. But preaching. Oh, listen, the Spirit of God often uses the Word of God to reignite the people of God. I understand what Jeremiah meant in Jeremiah 20 verse 9 when he said, oh, I said I wouldn't mention him. I told myself I'm not going to speak any longer in his name. I told myself, and then his message becomes a burning fire in my heart, shut up in my bones. I became so tired of holding it in, I just had to let it out. That's the way I feel sometimes. I mean, I'm so ready to preach sometimes on Thursday, I can hardly wait. You know how many times I preached this sermon before I preached it to you? 4. And I loved every time. I'm serious. Sometimes Carrie will say, well, now I know what you're preaching Sunday. I heard it in the office. You know, I guess our walls don't have enough insulation or something. I'm not sure. I love it, man. I tell you, I don't want to just preach this thing once or twice on Sundays. I want to preach this thing till it burns in my heart. And I can't wait to share it because I know it could be life changing. Preaching fuels the flame. Then finally, purity fuels the flame. Purity fuels the flame. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. But test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Hold firmly the truth. Stay away from compromise. I get it. I get it, ladies and gentlemen. Pornography is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's on your phones, it's on your television, it's on billboards. Evil prevails, it's in the atmosphere. It's everywhere. Hold on to truth. Don't let the flame, the power of God go out. Stay away from every kind of evil. Because if we continually fill our lives with compromise, negativity, impurity, and distraction, eventually our spiritual fire will weaken. But when we pursue truth and purity and integrity and obedience, the flame will grow stronger. This is what the Bible means in Galatians in chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Whatever you feed is going to grow in your life. You feed the flesh is going to grow. You feed the spirit's going to grow. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap life eternal from the Spirit. Don't feed the flesh. Feed the Spirit so the Spirit of God will grow. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next 8 weeks in the summer, is how can we feed our spirit so that love and joy and patience and kindness, how can those things grow in my life instead of anger and frustration and bitterness and lust? And well, if you're feeding the spirit, she's going to look a lot prettier than feeding the flesh. And by the way, feeding the spirit is destructive. Ruins marriages, busts up churches, messes up friendships. I'm telling you, it feels good maybe for a little bit. Like, oh, that was cool. That's good. I got away with that. No, I didn't. Because your sin will always find you out. And so it's so important to understand what Scripture teaches us. Spiritual passion and spiritual fire is always sustained by healthy spiritual habits that keep us close to the Holy Spirit. And I recommend these 5 all day long. Now, let me close quickly. And I can't close in 5 minutes because I did it in the first service. So you ready for a quick close? Here it is. Number 3, resist the drift, refuel the flame, rekindle the flame. Return to your first love. Rekindle it. rekindle it. It may be flicker. It may just be a flicker. It may be out, but you can rekindle it. You may be here this morning spiritually dry. You may be here this morning spiritually distant. And the good news is this, that God specializes in rekindling what feels like it is fading. He specializes in this. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus was speaking to a church at Ephesus. And this church was like a lot like our church. As I read about the church of Ephesus, you can read it for yourselves. It was a busy church. It was an active church. It was a serving church. I mean, this campus is alive. Church, school, college, 24/7. I mean, somebody told me the other day, I drove by the church and there was only two cars in the parking lot. I hadn't seen that in 9 months. I said, yeah, school's out. Otherwise, there's 500 people on this property every single day. Busy church, serving church. It was a doctrinally sound church. Wow, that's a great church, preacher. Well, listen to what Jesus said to this church. Verse 2, Revelation. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love, the fire, the passion you had at first. The members of this church here in Ephesus, they were going through the motions. That's all they were doing. Their passion was fading. And this can happen to us. Is anybody listening? We can go through the motions of our faith and our Christianity with no passion. You can still attend church but lose your wonder. You can still serve while losing your joy. You can serve outwardly but drift inwardly. This is why spiritual fire must continually be protected. And so in the text, it's beautiful. Jesus gives them three ways they can protect the flame. And what seems like a rebuke is really not a rebuke. It's really a way that Jesus is just loving them and helping them to understand what they need to do. Let me give you these three things. Look at it. Revelation chapter number 2, verse 5. Remember then how you have fallen. Repent and do the first works you did at first. Otherwise, I'll come to you. Remove your lampstand from its place, and unless you repent. Number one, do you see it? Jesus tells them to what? Remember. Remember. Hey, Eric, you're drifting. Remember when the fire burned stronger, Eric? Remember when you got saved? Remember when you started Gospel Light? Remember when you first got discipled? Remember that first sermon? Remember that honeymoon? Remember that, Eric? Remember the love and the passion you had for your wife? Hey, Eric, remember. Don't forget what I did in your life. Remember when worship moved your heart? Remember when it was easy to raise your hands or lift your voice or sing a song with your eyes closed to an audience of one? Remember that? Oh, we had such sweet fellowship, Eric, when you did that. Remember when your prayer was alive? Remember when you would just talk with me all the time and I was your first response, not your last one? You always seemed to come to me, Eric. You prayed 7 times a day and you were so faithful. Eric, remember that? Remember when you were hungry for God, Eric? Hungry. Couldn't wait to get to church. Remember that? Sat on the edge of your seat. Remember you didn't care when church ended, how often you went to church. None of that mattered. Remember that, Eric? Remember? Sometimes the first step toward spiritual renewal is simply remembering what closeness with God felt like. Might be good to ask ourselves the question, do I feel close to God? And if not, it's not because He's moved. It's because we've drifted. He's there. He was there all the time. He wants to be close. Number two, Jesus tells them to repent. Look at it in verse 5. He says, remember from whence you have fallen and repent. Repentance is simply turning the heart back toward God. And we get this from Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, therefore, repent and turn back. Repent and turn back that your sins may be wiped out. And I love this. In fact, this is what my vacation will be all about. This is what I'm going to tell my family. Hey, family, we've been burning the candle at both ends. We need a season of refreshing. We need to rekindle, make sure our flame doesn't go out. Amen. The seasons of refreshing, they come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. I love that phrase. It's always been one of my favorite passages in the Bible, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, man, I need that so often. Man, God doesn't just call us back to rebuke us. He calls us back to refresh us. And then finally, Jesus tells us to repeat the first works. Repeat. Go back and just do what you once did. Look at it in Revelation 2:5. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. In other words, return to the basics that once kept the fire strong. Pray again. Worship again. Read the word again. Serve again. Stay hungry again. Stay close again. Be empowered to serve again. Go and do your first works. And the more attention that we give to our relationship with God, the stronger the flame becomes. So even if you feel just a small flicker today, know this, that God can breathe on that flicker again. He can restore passion. He can restore joy. God, the Holy Spirit, can restore spiritual fire again. God desires your life to burn bright with passion, purpose, and power. He desires that. May we not let this 6-week sermon series just become a relic of the past. May it become the fire that fuels our service in the future. I'd like to ask the worship team if they would to come up. And while they're coming, and I'm closing, God wants Gospel Light to be empowered to serve. I'm convinced of it. I'm just convinced that if we finish this sermon series and every member of our church in the next month or two does not feel as if there is a place, and sometimes that place is not even seen, sometimes it shows up in ways we never know. Prayer, giving, sometimes it's not even something we put our eyes on, but something we're involved in consistently. I gave you that little sheet, that little handout to help give you one final resource just so that you'd be equipped. Because church family, can I tell you something about being saved? We do have a judgment seat. It's just not the great white throne judgment. It's the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be held accountable for the life that we lived as a believer. In other words, we'll be held accountable for this 6-week sermon series. We will. Well, God, I'm sorry. I never really found out what my spiritual gift was. Well, that's funny. Didn't they preach 6 weeks on that in your church? I laid that on your pastor's heart for a reason. I'm not saying that's going to happen like that. I'm sorry. It's kind of like The Chosen, right? I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, but maybe. Maybe. I'm not sure how it works. I don't know. I just know that I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And this sermon series is about a good judgment seat. It really is. It's about giving your church family an opportunity to plug in and to use their spiritual gift. Because you were created for more than just routine Christianity. You were. You were created for more than clock in and clock out on Sunday mornings. Way more. God saved you with a purpose. God filled you with His Spirit. God gifted you for ministry. God empowered you to make a difference. And the Holy Spirit wants your life burning with passion and with spiritual fire. Maybe again. That's why we must protect the flame. You know, can I tell you something? A little secret I've been keeping from you. This series was never really about spiritual gifts. It was about becoming spiritually alive. You'll never know what using your gift will do for your spiritual life. It's amazing. You feel so much closer to God when you're serving Him with the gift He gave you. So as we close this series, may this be our prayer. Holy Spirit, keep me sensitive. Lord, keep me sensitive. I want to feel Your presence. I want to feel Your conviction. I want to know when You want me to witness. And I want to feel the prompting of Your Spirit in my life. Lord, keep me surrendered. My life is Yours to control, God. I'm laying it all on the altar. I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'm all in. Keep me empowered. I need Your power. I don't want to do this alone. God, I'll fail if I'm doing it in the flesh. I know I will, God. I've tried the flesh. The flesh doesn't work. God, I need your spirit to empower me. God, keep the fire burning. Lord, may I never get behind this pulpit and without the fire of God. May it be so powerful that it just burst out of my life. May that be the case with all of us today. Let's bow our heads for prayer, shall we? And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many this morning might say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. Just pray that God would move me and touch me. You don't have to lift your hand, but lift your heart. I want to know what it is and where it is God wants me to serve. Maybe you're not saved this morning. You're here. You're not saved. You've never known Christ in a personal way. You've gone to church. You believe in God, but you've never truly repented of your sin and turned to Christ for salvation. You've never really truly let go of your efforts and just clinged to the finished work of Christ on the cross. He paid it all. He paid it all. If you need to be saved today, I'll be up front. We'll have a couple of our elders up front. If you need someone to pray with, we are available. And as we sing this closing song, may we leave this place touched and lit up with the fire of God. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for what you've done these last 6 weeks. Lord, believe it or not, I'm going to miss this. I'm going to really miss the next 2 weeks. But I do pray for Lance Nelson and for Tim Carpenter that you'd fill these guys with your power. Use them in a great way. Help our church family to support them and come hungry, come ready. And then, Father, I'm looking forward to that anniversary Sunday. 34 years. Celebrate what you've done. But God, today we need your power. We need a fresh anointing. So if there's anyone that needs to come forward to pray, God, may they feel loved, accepted, and may they feel a freedom, not a judgment, to come forward and just pray. If they need someone to pray with them, help them to feel comfortable in asking me or someone else to pray with them. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Thank you.